enough of the intro material and some of the background. Control charts really do have a visual appearance in a chart. The most common and almost always the, I would say, the poster child for SPC is what's called an X-bar and R-chart. Now, the X-bar is an average of some collection of readings, and the R-chart is a range of those readings. So typically, we would measure, say, 3 to 5 samples from the production line. We'd take a couple of units and at some frequency or some random schedule that we would take readings, take, say, 5 readings, and X bar is just the average of those 5 measurements. And we'll touch on why we do that and why that's useful in a future part of this lesson. The R chart, on the other hand, is called the range chart, and it's a surrogate for the standard deviation. In the not too distant past, calculating standard deviations was a tedious manual event using slide rules and tables and so on, whereas measuring the range of, say, 5 values was pretty easy. You would put them in rank order and take the difference between the max and the minimum value and plot that. If you've today, you certainly have access to calculators and all kinds of different formats, and calculating standard deviation is pretty trivial. So X bar and R charts, while used for most textbooks and lessons about control charts, is not used very often. I instead use a slightly more accurate insensitive chart called an X-bar and S-charts, the S being for standard deviations. So that all being said, here's what a typical control chart of an X-bar and R-chart would look like. There's 2 charts, and so the X-bar chart is taking, say, 5 readings, and let's say I have, I'll just make little marks here, see if I can get 5 of them, and those are my individual measurements. And I'd write those down on the form, or they'd be collected for me in some way. And it's beyond the scope of this course to figure out, well, do I take 3 or 5 or 7? But you would use some thought into how many samples you would take. And it depends on how frequently the operation is running, how much span you want to control, what kind of resolution you're looking for, and a lot more can go into that. But let's say 5 samples for the sake of our example. And I take the average of those, the X bar of that sample, and I plot it. So in this case, I've got something that's around 12.3, 12.4, something like that. So I do that on an ongoing basis, and many charts will show this with a line connecting the dots, basically. And it has the advantage of helping visualize the pattern of what's going on with your process. And I should get some above and below the average line. So this is the average of all of my averages, essentially. And once I have, say, 30 or so points, 25 to 30 points collected, I can also then calculate the control limits. This is the upper control limit and the lower control limit for the X bar chart. Now, using a solid line for the X double bar and dashed lines or dotted lines for the control limits is a convention. There's nothing much to that. But what it does is it gives us the ability to monitor our process that it should fall most of the time, 99.7% of the time, should fall within those bounds. And if it doesn't, The simplest rule is that a point would fall outside of this area, these dashed lines, the control limit, and we would say that there's an unusual or an out of control event. Now, we'll certainly talk more about those kinds of events and the rules for monitoring them. But we'll talk about the construction and calculation of these control limits, and we'll also talk about interpreting those in much more detail later on. Now, the range chart in this particular case is based again on these 5 samples, and you take the min and max and take the difference of that and plot that difference. Now, the difference is then compared against its own control limit, which is based on, again, that the range is a measure of the spread of the data. And if the five individual points are too spread out, this chart would then signal that there's too much variation within the sample. The X-bar chart, on the other hand, is monitoring the mean or the average point of your data set. So it's a way of monitoring both the mean, the location of where your data is on the number line, and then the R chart is the spread. Now notice what's missing from the chart. There's no specifications. There's no spec limits. And that comes later when we start talking about process capability. But remember, the first step is to make sure your process is stable. And that's where the use of control charts come in. So there's a handful of steps to construct a X-bar and R chart, and they're very similar sets of directions for calculating moving range charts, S charts, P charts, C charts, and we'll talk about, I think, a half dozen or so different kinds of charts, which is only a fraction of the ones that are possible. But basically, it's determine the sample size. Am I taking 3 samples, 5 samples, 10 samples? Again, more is better, but you may not have a process that creates that many prototypes all that often. And one convention is to take samples that are grouped close together with or within a short, relatively short period of time. So it may not be feasible to get a large set of data. And then collect 20 to 25, better to have 30 sets of these readings. If your process is pretty prolific at making parts, this may not take very long at all. In some organizations, this may take a week or more to get your first 25 sets of data, or longer. But once you have that, is then calculate out the average, the range, and the grand average of the sets of data that you have. So if you have 25 sets of data, what's the average of those 25 averages of the data? Likewise, calculate the average range value, the R bar. And then there's, for X bar and R, and for the other types of control charts, there's a set of formulas for calculating their particular control limits. Now, it's usually based on the notion of the plus or minus 3 standard deviation from the mean. Different organizations may use 2 standard deviation or 4 standard deviations. Typical is 3 standard deviations. All of the formulas in this course are based on the underlying assumption that we're interested in plus or minus 3 standard deviation control limits. And plot the data. See where you're at. Look for out of control signals, and we'll talk at length at how to identify those. So here's the first couple of formulas. And you'll notice that there's these A sub 2 and D sub 3 and D sub 4. Those are called factors. And they're calculations that the A sub 2 is multiplied times your average range. And it gives us essentially 3 standard deviations. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The D3 and D4 factors are, again, looking for a plus or minus 3 standard deviations about a range value. So it's a slightly different factor. And these factors are based on how many samples in your draw. So if I'm taking 5 samples, the lower limit for D3, in fact, here on this chart, between 2 and 6 samples, D3 is always 0. So the lower control limit for the range chart will be 0, as it doesn't make sense to have a negative standard deviation or range value. The D4 value, though, you can see decreases pretty quickly as your sample size goes up. And it's multiplied times my average range, which gives me an estimate of the plus 3 standard deviations above the average range. And that's essentially what the A2 is doing, too. It's converting a range into 3 standard deviation. actually three standard error, because I'm dealing with a group of averages, to say it properly. So the basic idea here is that the control limits are representing, let's see if I've got my pen here, if I can get a normal curve drawn sideways here, is that I have 99.7% of my points are within the control limits, so that leaves 0.15 on both sides. So if I have a, if I happen to know what my control limit values are, I also then know what my standard error about the averages are. Oops, and this should be, yeah, a sub 2 times the average range gives me the three standard errors. So this is about, remember that the center line here is x double bar. So the points I'm plotting are the averages, not the individual points. The individual points will be on a much larger distribution and also may not be normally distributed, where if I take five samples and average those, I get some of the benefit of that central limit theorem. And we'll talk about that in the next lesson. But keep in mind these two formulas here, is they come in pretty handy, is that this A2 times my range gives me this distance between here and my control limit. So if I'm given the X bar, X double bar, and upper control limit, I can calculate the standard error about the about those averages. But then if I also know the number of samples that I'm using in the averages, I can also then calculate the standard deviation for my for that set of samples. So sometimes I'm given a standard deviation and I'm asked to create control charts. I can use these two formulas to do that. Other times you may be given the control limits and asked to determine what the standard deviation is. So keep in mind that this is based on the notion that it's three standard deviation up that way, and it's plus, and minus three standard deviation here. So in total, six standard deviations between the control limits. And so keeping some of those basics in mind, and remember we're talking about averages, so it's the standard error term that we're dealing with. But if I know the standard error and the number of samples, I can calculate standard deviation. So a lot of times the questions that I see in the sample exams include given parts of these bits of information and asking for the missing piece. So a little bit of algebra, but more importantly, understanding these factors and formulas goes a long way to help you answer those questions. Now, I mentioned the central limit theorem. I got ahead of myself a little bit, not knowing this question was coming up. But the central limit theorem has a essential part to play in creating control charts. Remember the discussion in a previous lesson where if the individual's data, say, had a triangular distribution or a bimodal distribution or whatever, by taking a sample of, say, 5 samples or 10 samples from that distribution and averaging it, and then doing that on an ongoing basis, and then plotting those averages, it will tend to be a normal distribution of those averages. So that allows, and one of the properties of a normal distribution is that it's symmetrical, and plus or minus three standard deviations has a meaning of that it contains 99.7% of the data. Plus or minus one standard deviation contains 68% of the data, and so on. So it allows us to create a control chart, even with data that's not normally distributed, and create a meaningful, easy to interpret set of charts. And so the central limit theorem has a great application here with the control charts. Now I've alluded to that there's a bunch of different control charts, and we're going to talk about how to select which control chart to use in the next lesson.